You are listening to the audio edition of The Economist.
Still in the leaders section.
Private equity. Carried away. One tax break for private equity is unfair, but don't blame the buyout barons.
On both sides of the Atlantic, private equity firms have faced all sorts of populist barracking recently for profiting at the expense of workers. The financiers have sidestepped most of these charges with pinstriped aplomb, and rightly so. The debate has been more about class war than economics. Most of the accusations against the locusts and barbarians have been false. Virtually all the remedies would do more harm than good to an industry that has been remarkably useful, not least when it comes to creating jobs. Tax has always been part of this assault. Critics initially focused on the fact that interest payments are tax deductible, but dividends are not. This attack seemed unconvincing. Interest deductibility does help highly leveraged firms more than most, but borrowing money is hardly an option just limited to private equity ones. Now a new tax-related criticism has emerged, to do with the low taxes that private equity partners pay on their income. Once again, it comes suspiciously larded in the language of envy. Shadowy money men are dodging taxes that decent workers pay. But this time the critics have a point. The rules should be changed. The argument centres on one long-established discrepancy, the gentler tax treatment of capital gains than annual income. In America, this dates back to the 1920s and was originally intended to reward small business owners and entrepreneurs for sweat equity, the hard work they put into building a business from scratch. Now it is benefiting people in private equity firms, and to a lesser extent hedge funds, who receive a large part of their pay in the form of carried interest, usually 20% of investment gains. In America, these are taxed at the 15% capital gains rate rather than 35% income tax. In Britain, the benefits are even more generous. Those who hold an investment for 2 years can pay 10% on the gains, compared with a 40% rate of income tax. In theory, an efficient tax system would tax both income and capital gains at the same rate, and allow people to make their decisions on merit alone. But even if you think capital gains and income should be taxed differently, carried interest looks like income, not equity, and should be treated as such. It is much closer to a performance fee than an equity stake. Managers can only gain from the carried interest, which cannot be negative. The obvious analogy is with the share options awarded to company managers, which are taxed as income. One worry about closing this loophole is that venture capital companies and other limited partnerships that focus on startups might well find their managers caught in the fallout. On closer inspection, this seems unlikely. Venture capitalism has done much better in America than Britain, although the incentive from carried interest is bigger in the latter. The industry's success clearly depends on other things than tax. A bigger danger is that in seeking to fix one relatively small thing, politicians will get carried away. Gordon Brown, courting the unions this week on his coronation march to Britain's highest office, talked about ensuring justice and integrity in the tax treatment of private equity. One union boss was quick to crow that the fat cats are losing the argument on tax. London's tabloids are also hunting for tubby felines. A British private equity investor, Nicholas Ferguson, won approving headlines on June 4th when he protested that private equity executives were charged less tax than office cleaners. In America, the issue is being dealt with more cautiously, partly because of intense lobbying by the venture capitalists, who have a much better standing in Congress than private equity firms do. Even so, two prominent members of the Senate Finance Committee, Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley, met industry executives and academics last month to explore the tax treatment of private equity fees. Increasingly, American unions are returning to the language of redistributive justice. The private equity industry would do well to heed this populism. It has, on the whole, a good story to tell. As a force for efficiency, the industry is more often a source of investment and new jobs than a rapacious asset stripper. To work its magic, private equity does not need an unfair tax break designed for another age and another set of entrepreneurs. There are lessons, too, for politicians. When authorities tinker with a tax system to favour some forms of capital over another, the distortions they create usually come at a cost. If you think the tax system is unfair, blame the people who created it, not the financiers who took advantage of it.